Highland Sports is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. Find everything you need to kick off your fitness journey at michaelmurphysports.ie.
Six minutes past 7 o'clock. You're welcome along to another edition of The Score here on Highland Radio. Coming up on tonight's show, we'll be joined by former Finn Harps manager and player Anthony Gorman to talk all things League of Ireland as we look ahead to the Friday night games involving Finn Harps and Derry City. Harps on the road, they're back in Dublin taking on St Patrick's Athletic, and Derry City looking to bounce back to winning ways. They took on UCD tomorrow night. And it's a big weekend for Letterkenny Rugby Club ahead of the Gordon West Cup final on Saturday. We'll be hearing from the club's coaching team of Paul O'Kane and Ali Ferguson. That is all to come on the programme tonight. Plus, we'll be getting the thoughts of from the Armagh County with Barry O'Hagan ahead of the big championship meeting as Donegal and Armagh, of course, clash on Sunday at McCool Park in Ballybuffet. That, in fact, is for the 29th time in the history of the championship. And there'll be full live match commentary here on Highland on Sunday. We'll have the build-up and then the full match live for you as from 1:40. And it's in association with Highland Motors. See highlandmotors.ie. I'll be joined by Brendan Kilcoyne in the commentary position on Sunday afternoon. And as we know, Donegal have had the upper hand over the Orchard County in recent championship meetings. Oisin Gallan won't line out along with the suspended duo of Orm McFadden Ferry and Neil McGee, while Donegal supporters will be hoping that Michael Langan, Kieran Thompson and Keelan McGonigal will be match ready after missing game time during the league. Armagh, of course, will be missing Kieran Mackin, but they will have Stephen Campbell, Aidan Nugent and Rian O'Neill all on the pitch, having had their bans overturned recently. On this week's preview, I've been joined by our match analyst, Martin McHugh, who has firstly been given his take on the actions off the pitch in the lead-up to the game this week.
Well, I think, Oisin, when we look at it, I suppose a lot of stuff has been highlighted and with all the appeals and everything else and where the road that the GAA is going down and everything else. And I would just be very fearful of the road that we are going down at the minute, you know, and everything else. So I think we look at it from, first of all, from a referee's point of view. Referees ref a match on the Sunday. Some of them are working on Sunday evening, and some of them they're all definitely working on a Monday and everything else. So, I mean, to get the report done out and everything else done out and everything else, you know, it's probably, you know, the way it is with them and everything else. It's not easy for them and everything else. But from a CCC point of view, the CCC, when they meet, they just go on the referee's report, and that's what they do and everything else. And I know there was criticism about of the Rian O'Neill affair. My reading about it, I wasn't sitting on it. The fact that Donegal was involved had nothing to do with it. I didn't get any information from the CCC about the case at all. And what I know is what they do is that maybe when they looked at when the appeals went in, they went back and studied the video of the match, and then they ended up seeing the Rian O'Neill case, and they put that to the referee, then asking the referee, did he deal with this situation or not? And then that goes back to the CCC, and they make a decision on it then. So that's the way it works. And, I know some people are saying maybe that the CCC are not backing the referees. I mean, of course they back the referees. They're a very honourable group, the whole lot of them, the people that's in it and everything else. And the thing about it is they just make a decision, go on the referee's report, and then that goes back to the county boards, and then they make the decision to appeal it or whatever else goes on. But, the CCCC, when they sit down, is really on the referee's report. If they do study videos and that there, they'll go to the referee then and ask the referee, did they deal with this situation or not? And that's basically the way it works. But I mean, it's gone down another road then of appeals and everything else. And suppose the big thing that came out this week, Oisin, out of it is that people are saying that, you know, when you contribute to a melee, you're part of it and you get your one match ban or whatever, and the referee class that there. Now they're saying now, after what happened this week, that that the referee has to explain exactly how did you contribute to a melee and everything else. And I think we have another case probably coming where they're going to look at it is that they're saying now that people are going into the melee to protect their teammates. So is it the rule book Is it the rule books is the problem or whatever the problem is? Are we going to have to look at the rule book from a GA point of view and readdress the whole thing? Are we going down the road of having a citing committee like they have in within the rugby and everything else? Or the other thing we can look at is that you're allowed, some people are saying you're allowed one appeal and one appeal only, and if you lose that they double the ban maybe or something like that there. But definitely, it's been highlighted now, Oisin, as you said, everybody all over the country is talking about it and everything else. It is a massive problem. Some people are saying it's a joke and everything else. The one thing about it is highlighted now and it's going to have to be addressed because we're going to have bigger problems coming down the road.
Yeah, we wait to see what's going to happen now in the coming months. But Martin, there's no quick fix for this situation. There's going to take time for changes to be made and to try and improve the appeal system on disciplinary issues.
Yeah, well, it's the thing about it is, suppose we look at it, that maybe from a GA point of view, there's too many appeals allowed, you know, with the DRA as well, where people can go to that there and everything else as well. You know, what was interesting, suppose, Oisin, back in my time, you know, when I played football, you were sent off mostly in the right, nearly all the time in the right. Any player was sent off mostly in the right. And odd time, some players were sent off in the wrong and they just took it on the chin. There's other times players weren't sent off. They should have been sent off, weren't sent off. So, you know, and we got on with it that time. And, you know, maybe it was a lot easier that time than it is now with the way it is. But that's the way the system has moved on now, and particularly at inter-county level. You know, there's a lot of work and a lot of everything else going into it and everything else. So look at someone that will, you know, I would say when this season's over, it'll definitely have to be addressed by the GAA. And whether we look at the whole rule book and everything else, there's something to be done because it is probably complicated and everything else. And, you know, the people that is very, very tough on us referees, I mean, they're looking at a situation now when an incident happens in a game now where we have a melee. If it does happen any game this weekend, then the referee's going to the umpires, and the umpires are saying, well, I'm not sure, did they go in to protect their player? This is whether they went into the melee or not. So that's definitely looking at it. That's going to have to be addressed. So, yeah, a lot of stuff to be addressed down the road. But sure, it wouldn't be the GAA if we didn't have situations like this, Oisin.
Let's focus on the game in hand then, Martin. How big a boost is it to the visitors to Balbuffet this weekend that all of a sudden have nearly a full deck to pick from off the back of what happened?
Yeah, it has to be a big boost to them, particularly when, you know, Donegal didn't appeal their two players and they end up now short them players and everything else. So I think it is definitely a boost. It does probably add a wee bit of pressure on them that they're coming now with a full side. It's a very, very big match for both teams, but particularly it becomes now a massive match for Armagh coming down, you know, to make that breakthrough from their point of view, looking at it. And it's going to be a great game. It's going to be a very enjoyable game. I think the weather's going to be good and everything else. And, you know, we're looking forward to it. And suppose maybe with the back door and everything else, it does take a bit of the pressure off, but it'll be heated atmosphere about Balbuffet. We had a lot of big matches against Tyrone and Balbuffet in the past, and this is definitely going to be a big one against Armagh now.
Yeah, it's been a while since Donegal actually lost a game in the opening round of the championship in Balbuffet. I think 2010, Martin, maybe it was the last time that happened. But if Donegal are going to overcome Armagh, they need to have as many players available as possible. Declan Bonner confirmed this week that Oisin Gallen seems to be the only one that's going to miss out through injury. Obviously, Owen McFadden-Ferry, you would have seen, has been a starter. But Donegal's going to need everybody firing on all cylinders, are they?
Yeah, exactly. And I think even going back to that game in 2010, I think it was after extra time down, beat Donegal that year after extra time in Balbuffet that day, and down went to the All-Ireland final that year as well, and Cork beat them in the All-Ireland final. But I think you're right, they're going to have everybody firing all cylinders. We're at home in Balbuffet, you know, that's an advantage to us. We're hard to beat there. You know, I know Monaghan came down this year and beat us in the league and everything else, but we've a good record there. And as you said, Oisin, a very good record in the championship there. So, yeah, hopefully everybody's available and going well and everything else. And, you know, it's going to be, don't rule out this game going to extra time, even with there not much between the two sides. You feel, you know, we look at the league match and everything else against them and everything else. And I know there weren't a wild lot at stake, but in the end up there weren't a wild lot. There's only a kick of a ball in it. So it's going to be very, very close. Sure, I mean, it's what the Ulster Championship is about and everything else. And I think that, you know, if Donegal have everybody available, they have a great chance.
Yeah. If we go back to that game in Letterkenny, Donegal were cruising up until half-time, Martin, and then Rian O'Neill was introduced and Rory Grugan was introduced as well to the game in the second half. And both of those players were the players that were doing the damage. How do you deal with Rian O'Neill this time around? Because they're not going to wait the half-time to bring him on this time around, Martin.
No, I don't think so. So look, definitely not going to wait to half time. But I think looking at that day is funny. Interesting, they took him on, Oisin, they played him out the field. So they didn't put him into the full forward lane at all. And I expect them to start him inside this day. So will Donegal, probably Brendan McCall will pick him up in the full forward. He was in there and when he does drift out the field. He's one of the great players, one of the best players in the country at the minute. I know people say David Clifford's ahead of everybody else in the country, but he's up there with them, Ryan O'Neill. And but he's brilliant that he's got it. Donegal to be very disciplined because he's a brilliant free taker off the ground. He's a lovely, one of these players, lovely striker of the ball. We know that Oisin McConville's actually his uncle and everything else, who was a brilliant striker of a dead ball off the ground as well. He's a lovely striker. Has to be very disciplined not to give away frees because he will kick frees. And you know, the surface in Balbuffet we know is very good. There's always a place when I kick frees, even myself come back a long time ago, I love kicking in Balbuffet. It's one of the pitches, whatever kind of surface on, you like kicking dead balls of it. So I think it'd be very important to be well disciplined. And we know that Michael Murphy can do the same thing for Donegal off the ground at the other end with his right foot, or Patrick Beardy to the left. But I think discipline's going to be very important. And that's why I think if Donegal can run enough ball and run at Armagh and make them, you know, give away fouls and that there, that could come all down to that there.
Yeah, you mentioned Michael Murphy. We've seen that in numerous games with Michael Murphy, and at spells as well in the last game against Armagh. Murphy creating the space for McBertie because he was dragging three or four players with him. Is maybe that a tactic that Donegal is going to have to implement more this time around than what they did the last day?
Aye, exactly. I mean, we know, you know, anywhere you go in Ireland, Michael Murphy's the most feared player in Donegal and everything else. And the good thing about it is when he plays, and you know, and if he stays inside and plays inside, they will, that could mean the other Armagh, whoever you're playing, will drift players back to cover that space and everything else. That gives more freedom out the field for the players to get going out the field. So yeah, it's important tactically. You know, we can't expect him to carry us like he's been doing in the past every day he goes out and everything else. But you expect it, whatever, you know, to use him in the right ways, exactly what you said, right? You know, and looking to leave the space for other players like Patrick Beardy. I've always remember Patrick Beardy playing really well against Armagh. So expect a big game from Patrick Beardy on Sunday and everything else. And I think if we can break even Donegal in the middle of the park, I think that's the big area around there. Pick up the breaking ball in that area. We can have possession of the ball, keep possession of the ball, and don't allow them to get possession of the ball. And the other thing is Armagh like kicking the ball, so they will kick a fair bit of ball. So it's important for Donegal to keep that, you know, don't get turnovers and everything else, and stop them, the ability of them, put pressure on that out the field and run at them and run. I would say, you know, keep, as you said, space in that there, especially when Michael Murphy's inside and the players in front of him, get space and run at them. And I think that's what to use as much as possible on Sunday.
Yeah, and obviously you need big men around the middle, Martin. If you're going to leave Michael Murphy in there, obviously there's a couple of options for Declan Boner, so there is in the middle of the park.
Yeah, and you know, the situation is that you'll not always maybe, you know, leave Michael Murphy in there inside. You can take him out at times, maybe, and there's no harm then to put an odd high ball in on top of Patrick Beardy in there, who, remember the famous day they played Armagh, I think it was up on the athletic grounds, where a first high ball went in, Patrick Beardy caught it and stuck it in the back of the net. So I think you can use that tactic, but you're right in the middle of the field. And we've got big men in that field, whether it's Jason McGee, Q McFadden, hopefully Michael Langan's fit. You've Kieran Thompson, who's a natural midfielder in that area. So a lot of players in that area.
As well, is due back.
Kieran McGonigal back. That, I mean, he's had a great year, and it's great that he is back. And I mean, that's great. That's another big plus of Kieran McGonigal's fit to go as well. So we've got big men in that area. We have power in that area. And the good thing about them big men we talk about, they all can play ball as well. So yeah, I've said it's a big area. You know, they've gone with Jarlath Ogburns now, our mad wing back. He's a, you know, a big player for them. Maybe his battle even with Kieran Thompson is going to be like more like a midfield battle in that area. But I think that the midfield is very, very important, whatever way. And it's still an important area in Gaelic football to win, because both teams will probably press on the kick out. And, you know, that means that probably the kick out will go long, probably from both teams will go long. And I mean, who Armagh playing goals is going to be a big question as well. They've gone with Ethan Rafferty his last while, who actually managed in Jordan, who I didn't know he was a goalkeeper at all. He's always played most of his football out the field, but a brilliant striker of the ball and a very strong striker and good on the ball and able to come out the field with the ball, as we've seen in the games in the league. So there's a lot of still decisions.
Do you put the pressure on him, Martin? Do you lob the high ball in, test him early on?
Well, he actually would be a midfielder centre forward. So you might be good enough on the air and everything else, but definitely in a one-to-one situation, you'd be no more so than, you know, not a natural goalkeeper who didn't grow up as a goalkeeper and everything else. That's where you could make hay with a goalkeeper that's not used, you know, to go into goals and everything else. And, you know, we know Kerry, what they did what they did against Monaghan when they put pressure. So some teams put different pressure on goalie, but definitely you would have to say, not if he plays in goals, and I didn't see the Armagh team or anything else, and him not being a natural goalkeeper, it's understandable you put a bit of pressure on him.
Yeah. Well, mentioned two St. Noel's men. You already spoke about Brendan McColl, who's had a fantastic year and has really stepped up in that fullback role. Martin has taken on some of the stars of the sport this year and has done very, very well on them. And Pádraig Mógán was on the verge of becoming Ulster Player of the Year a couple of seasons ago. Is this the championship that Mógán can tear it up again and have a go?
Yeah, I think so. And it's interesting round traveling around the country, talking to different people in different counties, the sense that, you know, they really rate him highly. Pádraig Mógán's rated highly, and that's always a good sign when you hear people outside your own county rating a player and what he's about and everything else. You know, and he adds that link, which is very, very important. And it doesn't matter, you can play him in the half forward lane, take him back and use him as sweeper. You can play him sweeper, you can play him wing back. Yeah, he's a fabulous footballer. We know that, very well built and everything else, and very good and can kick a score as well. So yeah, It's a big year for Pádraig, but when you analyse him as a footballer, he deserves to be in that first 15 in Donegal, and you know it's not the easiest team when everybody's available to get into, and he's really turned into a fabulous footballer and a big plus for Donegal to have.
So then, Martin, how do you see this one go? We're a couple of days out here now from the start of the game, and as we all know, a lot has happened since that day that we beat Armagh in the league. But how's this one going to go, do you think, on Sunday?
Well, first of all, Maurice Deegan's going to have to be on top of his game and be really on top of his game from the minute the ball's thrown in. It's a big game. It's a big game for him. I was chatting about, people would tell you that Goldie is probably the best referee in the country. A lot of people say that. Even players will tell you that there. But I always remember the first game that Goldie refed in Ulster. He came up to referee, I think it was 2006, Tyrone were All-Ireland champions and Derry were playing them in the first round. I think it was Noma. And at half-time, Tyrone hadn't scored. I think the referee, he had to take a week off work afterwards with the pressure and everything else he was under that day. He didn't realise what Ulster football was about. So Maurice Deegan might take the week off after this game and everything else, but he'd have to be on top of it. This is going to be intense stuff from day one with everything that's happened, particularly and everything else. So it's a great occasion. It's great to some battle buffet and everything else. I think it'll go down to the wire, Ross. I think it'll be very, very close. I think it will go down to the wire and everything else. But I just think maybe Donegal have that wee bit more talent. I feel just that wee bit more, hopefully maybe even to come off the bench and make a difference. I wouldn't rule out extra time, as I said earlier on, but listen, we know, as being Donegal men, we'll take a 1-point victory. And you know, if we could win it, it would be one of the sweetest ones that we've won in a while.
And you'll take an early goal from Pádraig Mberthe again.
I'll take an early goal from anybody. It doesn't matter who scores. If the umpire even kicks into the net, we'll be happy enough. We've had a lot of famous goals. And I remember a famous one. I think it was 2007. Kevin Casty scored a very late goal against Armagh to beat them in Balbuffet. They were saying it was a square ball and everything else, but it was allowed on the day and it was a big goal to get right at the end of the game. So we'll take any kind of a score we can get earlier on. But yeah, it'll be important to get a good start, Donegal. I think to dictate the game. No team likes chasing the game, and particularly against Ulster teams, it's hard to chase the game. I think Armagh will be no different than anything else. But there's a lot of pressure in Armagh coming. A lot of pressure coming. This is a big year for them. This whole setup, the management team and everything else, they've been a while around, and they need to win an Ulster championship. So it's a big year for them, and that's why this game is massive for both counties.
That's Martin McHugh speaking to me ahead of this mammoth Ulster Championship encounter, which of course is on Sunday at McCool Park in Ballybuffet. Well, Armagh are looking for a first win over Donegal in the Championship. You have to go back to 2010 when that last happened. Barry O'Hagan is a former Armagh player, now resident in Donegal, and he's expecting a really tight game and feels Kieran McGinney's side will get a massive boost with three of the four cited players available again.
Yeah, great boost, Tom, and good evening to you. I think Armagh appealed the two lads. It was young Nugent and my own club man, Stephen Campbell. Young Kieran Magan, who's had a great league for us, he's actually out with, I think he fractured his eye socket or something like that, so he's actually out of the game. I suppose it has probably been a bit of a distraction for both counties. Armagh have been involved in these appeals with Rain and with the two or three lads, and it can't affect preparation, but look, a great boost. Armagh probably will enhance our offering coming off the bench. I think throughout the league we have a good strong bench coming in to finish the games, and it's a great, I don't think it's going to impact the starting team outside of young Aidan Nugent, but a great boost going into the game. Donegal will probably feel aggrieved. They didn't appeal, they made the decision not to appeal, and probably feeling a bit aggrieved going into the game, and we'll probably use that as an incentive. But I think Armagh also will be coming down the road feeling a bit aggrieved in terms of the way Rain was targeted. Look, and without getting into what was he guilty or not, it was how he was cited outside of the due process and what was going on in the background there. So I think Armagh are a wee bit peeved with that. But I think, look, come Friday or Saturday, all of that will be in the background, and it's about playing a game of football on Sunday.
Yeah, you mentioned affecting preparations. Obviously, Dear McGeaney didn't know until Tuesday night he was going to have those players available to him. So obviously, he was planning other things, I'm sure.
I would imagine, you know, in A versus B games, Nugent and Campbell would have been playing in the B team, you know, and other lads would have probably thought they were getting into the starting setup. And again, how does that impact the 26 match day panel? There's probably a couple of lads thought they were getting into the match day panel, and now not in that panel. So that'll all have to be managed this week. But I've no doubt the management team would have been preparing for a number of scenarios. So there have been good discussions going on. With their panel and competition for places going in to the weekend game, and those couple of lads that maybe thought they were going to start will probably definitely come in off the bench now, so they'll come in with a wee bit of added incentive for Sunday's game, and I think it does strengthen our hand.
Yeah, and who would those three lads be, Barry, in your opinion?
I do think now that coming off the bench, Stephen Campbell has been used to finish the games over the course of this season in the league and been very, very effective. I think Stephen will come in off the bench. I'm not quite sure who will replace young Kieran Macken, who's now injured in the middle of the field. I know Washington O'Neill, Rain's older brother, has been carrying an Achilles injury all season, so I'm not sure if he's 100% fit to come in off the bench, but I would imagine we'll see Oisin having game time this weekend, and he hopefully will have a big, big part to play in the game. He's probably, along with Rain, been our most consistent player in the last 2 or 3 years, and he's a big, big player for Armagh. So I would imagine Stephen and Oisin will come off the bench. Also, Andy Murnan, who played in Letterkenny, has started some games, but I'm not quite sure will Andy start or will he be an impact sub coming off the bench. So it'll be interesting to see on Sunday. Yeah. Who our starting team actually is.
Yeah, and how would Donegal be viewed in Armagh?
Probably similar to the rest of the country. I probably think in the last 3 years, the first year Declan came in, I thought he gave the great push. You know, his first year when they won Ulster, and you know, particularly the day I seen them against Kerry in the Super 8s, I thought Donegal are now ready to challenge the Dubs. I really thought, you know, there's a team really building here. The young lads had really invigorated the squad. They were playing Michael more in the edge of the square. And I think there's probably been a wee bit of disappointment, not just in Donegal, outside of that, since the Cavan Ulster final game during COVID, that they haven't really kicked on. Because, look, if you look throughout the Donegal team and you look throughout their squad, you know, they're as good a footballers as any of the top teams in the country, probably better. And I suppose how they're viewed in Armagh, we haven't had a win of any significance against Donegal since 2010, that famous day in Crossmaglen, and then Jim McGuinness took over, and I'm including minor and under 20 in that as well. We had a good minor team last year. They beat us by a couple of points in the semi, and I know we had a few lads missing with COVID, but we haven't been able to get over the line. A bit like in the noughties, where Donegal couldn't get over the line with our good Armagh team. You know, I think there's a bit of a Indian sign that they have over, so I think we're coming down the road with a bit of trepidation, but I think it's our best team we've had probably since the mid-noughties, so there's a good bit of hope coming down the road. But I think Donegal have phenomenal footballers. Even when I look at some of the young lads coming in there, Shane O'Donnell, you know, he's a phenomenal young footballer. I've seen a lot of him at underage, you know, and he probably won't start. And he would be getting his place in a lot of other counties with the talent that he has. So, you know, I think Donegal will be quietly confident, a bit like Armagh, and, you know, think they can give this thing a good rattle this year.
Any trepidation about McCool Park?
Yeah, well, you have to have, I think, if you look at Michael, Paddy McBrady, Neil McGee, people like that, haven't been beat too often in league or championship throughout their football careers. I know we beat them on them this year and Tyrone in the Super 8s, but even if you look at under-8 football at minor level and at under-20, under-21 level, Donegal don't get beat too often in that ground. And look, that is going to be worth a couple of points to them, but you know, I don't think it's going to be, make a big difference coming down the stretch, you know, but I think Swarman need to be in the game by half-time. I don't think we can afford to give them the start we did in Letterkenny. Obviously, we've made a lot of changes that day, and you know, the game, I don't think Armagh really, really wanted to get to a league final. So it's a big, big ask. But Tom, the way I look at it is Armagh haven't had many successes in the athletic grounds in the last decade at the championship level. So I don't think it particularly matters where Armagh home or away or whether it's Clonus or wherever it was. I do think it's a game of football with two players at the other end. And there are young lads that are in the Donegal team now. Yeah, they may be unbeaten, but that's not their record. That's more a record that Michael and Neil McGee and people like that have been in charge of. So look, I don't think the venue is going to be that big a hassle for Armagh.
There you go. That's former Armagh player Barry O'Hagan giving his thoughts ahead of Donegal against Armagh in the Ulster Championship this coming weekend. And just a reminder as well, Donegal supporters are urged to get their tickets in advance of the game. The fixture is expected to be a sellout come game day on Sunday. Only terrace tickets remain and they can be purchased, and get more details on the Donegal GA website. That is donegalgaa.ie. And of course, if you can't make it to the game on Sunday, stick on the radio or put on your smart speaker. You'll get full live match commentary from Highland on Sunday Sport this coming weekend. Donegal supporters and indeed Armagh supporters will also be keeping an eye on the other Ulster Championship fixture this weekend. Antrim play Cavan at Corrigan Park on Saturday. That's the first of the quarterfinals in the competition. The winners of that game will play the winners of Donegal and Armagh in 2 weeks' time. But the weekend's football gets underway tomorrow night, Friday. The Ulster Under 20 Championship Final is taking place at Brewster Park in Enniskillen. Cavan are playing Tyrone, and that game is due to get underway at 8 o'clock tomorrow night in the Fermanagh venue. All three Northwest counties are also involved in Ulster Minor Championship quarterfinals on Saturday. The first game up is Donegal against Fermanagh. That is in McCool Park in Balbuffet. We'll have updates with Frank Craig as from the 4 o'clock start time there. Then at 5:30, Derry are on the road. They go to the athletic grounds to play Armagh. And at 6 o'clock at Haley Park in Omagh, Tyrone will have home advantage as they play Cavan, this time at minor level. On the hurling front, two of the teams that are seen as favourites for this year's Nicky Rackard title will meet at the O'Donnell Park in Letterkenny on Saturday afternoon. That is Donegal and Roscommon. Donegal will be boosted this week by the return of Sean McVeigh and Declan Coulter. 2 o'clock is the start time to that round 3 Nicky Rackard Cup fixture at the O'Donnell Park in Letterkenny. And we'll also have regular updates on Saturday from that one. Tom Comack and Colin Brannock, former Donegal player, will be following the action there. At the same time in Carrickmore, Tyrone, who are also seen as contenders for the Nicky Rackard, they play host to Armagh. And Derry are on the road on Saturday. They're in Newbridge for the third round of the Christy Ring competition as they take on Kildare. And there's a hurling match taking place tonight involving Derry. It's the semi-final of the All-Ireland Under-20 B Championship for the Richie McGilligott Cup. It's in Park Esther in Newry. Down are ticking on Derry, and it's due to get underway in about 25 minutes' time. Now, turning our attention to rugby. On Saturday evening, Letterkenny will battle with Monaghan for the Gordon West Cup at the home of Ulster Rugby in Belfast. Letterkenny last played in the final at Ravenhill 11 years ago. This season, the club are currently fighting on two fronts, with promotion to Ulster Championship 2 also still achievable. In Highland's big match build-up, Ryan Ferry has been speaking to a number of members from the Letterkenny club, including head coach Paul O'Kane and his assistant Ali Ferguson, who took over the reins at the Dave Gallagher grounds in May of last year. Paul says the build-up has been exciting.
The guys have all been buzzing off us since we basically got through the semi-final, which took a savage performance away from home to beat Virginia. So it's just been building and building. I suppose maybe the two league games in between have maybe dampened it for a wee while. Maybe the I suppose maybe there's a bit of detraction week to week there, but there's only one focus now, that we've the last league game against the Rally Loway, and the boys are really, really excited and just focused on the job at hand. To that end, maybe the game with Monaghan in the league that didn't go so well, or actually probably as poorly as it could have went, to be honest, as a sobering one, as we go into this final now. So now there's a good buzz about the squad. They're determined, they're really excited and focused and just looking forward to getting out there now and giving a real good account of themselves.
Paul, you took the reins last summer. You might talk us through what lured you to Letterkenny, or what was your motivation for getting involved here?
I suppose seeing the potential. I know a fair bit about North West rugby in general. I've always seen the amount of youth talent that has been created in Letterkenny, but probably not really been cultivated and brought through the senior level. So that was probably the thing that excited me about that potential and area and room for growth right the way through the club. Trying to put in place structures in tandem with the people within the club, the committee, the other coaches, to try and reap the benefits of that huge talent pool that they're basically getting, finding a few solutions to problems that have been historically there, something moving training nights and different things to engage with the guys that were away down the country to university. And everyone has really bought in, to be fair. We know we're only at the start of this journey, really, but it's been a fairly good start from where the club were over the past couple or 3 years to where they are now in the space of probably 10 months' work. It's just rewards for the hard work and the efforts that they've all put in. And hopefully we can keep moving forward with it. But there's a real togetherness and real pride in the community that the boys have really, you can see it on a week-to-week basis now. They enjoy each other's company, they enjoy the crack and fun about the place. And there's such a hard-working group of volunteers that are trying to really grow the club in all aspects now. So it's nice to have days like Saturday, I suppose, that everyone can go and enjoy and buy into. So that's, I suppose, why I got involved and brought Ali with me, and I knew that he would do a fantastic job to help that journey, I suppose. So it's been really enjoyable to date, hard work, but when you see days even like Saturday past there with the development team who weren't in existence 7 months ago, won in their league, like that's a group of guys that have come together over the course of this year, guys that maybe were disengaged from rugby or had come through youth teams in the past and not really come up into the senior club. That's a real big starting point for continued success in the club, and hopefully we can go and do a job here now on Saturday and keep it moving forward.
And Ali, we're talking here to lads that are in their late 30s. We're talking to fellas that are 18 and 19. Is there a good blend between the team?
No, it's brilliant. And you know, one of the things Keynesy's done from the very start is making an environment where, and a culture where, everybody buys in and everybody feels part of it. And 100%, there's, you know, Keynesy sort of highlighted there, he knew the potential within the club. And if he took away the older, more experienced boys, you would struggle this year. If he took away the younger fellows that have sort of came through the youth system and bring the energy to the group, it wouldn't be the same. So there's a really, really good positive blend. And it feels that, you know, we've gelled so much as a group as the seasons went along. I thought, based on the talent we had, we would cruise through the league. And to be fair, it was probably at a service because of the quality of teams like Virginia, like Monaghan, like Cavan, like Newry. It's been tough. But where we've grown from September to now has been some journey. And I think it's testament to the hard work, as Keynesy said, the boys have put in, and everybody's really bought into what he's put on. So hopefully they'll get the rewards for what they deserve. Old and young.
And you might talk us through the semi-final. You defeated Virginia in that.
To go there and beat a team that have been, you know, I think they've won 21 or 22 games this season that we lost twice. So to go there and beat them in their own patch was class. And, you know, 10-9 was what the boys wanted at the end. But having watched the game back, the defensive performance and the guts and the bravery that the boys put their bodies on the line, hit after hit after hit, shows how much I think they really want it. And it puts real value in getting through to the final when you can go to what would have been the favourites for the cup and beat them away in a game like that. You know, you've earned the right to go to Ravenhill and enjoy a big day out. So hopefully now it's, can we replicate that performance from what came through the semi-final.
And Paul, you're taking on Monaghan in the final. What are you expecting from them?
They're a well-coached physical side. They've plenty of experience. I suppose we know each other quite well this year already. We've went down to Monaghan and beat them earlier on the season. They beat us a couple of weeks ago, deservedly so, with a bonus point victory. And had a real hungry performance about them that day. So that I think it's maybe focused the minds of the boys even more so. What I would say is that I'm expecting an even better performance from Monaghan in the final. I think that they'll be better. I think that they'll have maybe a few guys that weren't available that day that will be available to them in the final. So it's going to be a really physical, confrontational affair up front. They love that aggressive, physical style up front. But there's some silky backs, a couple of real good ball players who run the game, manage the game very well, two Graham brothers. And they've a straight kicking game that put her back three under a lot of pressure the last day, and we'll need to find a few solutions to that. We can't kick away some of the ball we did that last day. They've a very exciting back three who returned ball and put us under all sorts of pressure that last day. So there's good learnings from the last game against them. By the same token, I thought that probably the first game we played, I thought Monaghan probably played better and I thought we played better. So it's, I suppose at this time of the season, it's about what bodies you have standing. I know we have a few knocks, we have a few bumps. There's a few guys that will probably be given to the very last second to see if we can get them fit and able to play. I'm sure Monaghan are no different. It's been such a physical and attritional year. Like I sort of said, a few others there were 26 games into the season now. Ten months down the road. It's been a long time in the making. So getting Saturday really and getting a performance is the biggest thing that we can put on the table now. We want to perform. We want to go to Ravenhill, give our fans, supporters, all the clubs something to be proud about, and wherever that takes us, I think we'll be happy enough from there.
That's Letterkenny head coach Paul O'Kane along with his assistant Ali Ferguson, and we wish everyone involved in Letterkenny the very best in that cup final in Belfast on Saturday. City of Derry's fight against relegation also continues this weekend in the playoff first leg. They're off to Tipperary to take on Clonmel. The winner over the two games in an aggregate score will stay at senior level, with the loser going down to the relegation promotion playoff. Now, on to football. Tomorrow night, Friday, the SSEAR Trusty Premier Division continues for Finn Harps and Derry City. Harps are chasing a second win of the campaign when they go to Richmond Park to take on St. Pat's. Harps will have Ellie Gale and Zaye and Ryan Rennie back, but Dave Webster and Connor Turish will miss out again, while Jose Carello and Ryan Connolly are seen as doubts for the tie. Also, league leaders Derry City will look to get back to winning ways as they take on UCD. On this week's League of Ireland chat, I've been speaking with former Finn Harps manager and player Anthony Gorman. So Anthony, it's been a while since we had you on the programme. It's good to have you back talking football once again, and especially Premier Division football in the League of Ireland.
Yeah, it's been a good start to the season, Oisin, and you know, I suppose with the money that's come into the league this year, especially from Derry, and you see the calibre of player that's come in, like Owen Doyle coming back to St Pat's from England. It makes for a very exciting League of Ireland.
Just before we go more into the League of Ireland, we'll look at your own situation, obviously, with Dungannon. Priority was to stay in the Premiership in the Irish League, and you assured safety last weekend. So I suppose that was the main target hit for you guys at Dungannon, yourself and Dean Shields, of course, in charge there.
Yeah. Well, I suppose like I'm there almost a year now, and it came in the last four or five games of last season, and Dean had obviously come in January, but it was a big rebuilding job for ourselves, because last summer there was 15 players that had to leave the club, and Dean wanted replaced, and we replaced the 15 that went out with seven, which we felt were better quality, and you know, our results have improved. I think the total points last year was 16, and this year we're up to 32 already with a couple of games left. So we've doubled our points tally, and you know, guaranteed survival, which was the aim for us at the start of the season, because there was such a big rebuild. And hopefully, in the summertime now, we'll be able to improve again. But there's a big emphasis at Dungannon not bringing your own players through, and you can, if you look through the team, there's an awful lot of locally developed players. But you know, in January we obviously lost Keith Cowan, which was a big blow to us, who went to Drogheda, but we replaced that experience that we had with Gary Breen from Cliftonville, which was a big help as well. So all in all, like, we've been quite happy with how things have gone. You know, league tables don't lie, and you know, we're at the minute we're sitting in ninth place in a 12-team league, and I suppose realistically, with the squad we have and with the budget we have, it's probably a bit of a fair reflection of where we're at.
So then now we'll focus, Anthony, on the League of Ireland Premier Division, and in particular Finn Harps. Harps sitting second bottom at the table, one win from 11, and they're on the road now in Dublin, and there's more tough games on the horizon for Harps. How would you sum up their opening period of the league so far?
Well, I think, you know, when there's so many new players coming into the team at the start of a season, and, you know, it's happened quite a lot with Finn Harps over the last few years where they bring players in, the players do well, and then they move on after a season. So it's very difficult for Ollie and the staff to have a consistent squad, and every year there is a big rebuild that has to take place. And the start of a season, they'll obviously be disappointed with, you know, a return of only 7 points from 11 games, and, you know, with that one victory coming away to Shelburne, which where it probably wasn't expected. But again, you know, speaking previously, Ash, you know, league tables don't lie, and, you know, it is a very difficult league in terms of quality of players and budget that teams have, and Finn Harps are right at the bottom of that when it comes to budget. And geographically as well, it's always very difficult to attract players up to Donegal. But to be fair to Ollie and Gavin Dykes, you know, this season, and Ollie and Paul Higgerty in previous seasons, they've done very well to attract a high calibre of player to Finn Harps. And, you know, success for Finn Harps is different to success for Shamrock Rovers or Dundalk, where their success is going to be mirrored in silverware. You know, and, like, personally speaking, success for Finn Harps is surviving the Premier League on a shoestring budget. And I think they've done really well over the last number of years with the resources they have and how well they've done.
Could this be possibly the toughest year for Ollie Horgan in a while?
I think you're right, Ashley. It will be tough. You know, at the minute, it looks very much like they're going to be battling out with UCD for the bottom position in the playoff place. You know, just above that, you've got Shells and Drogheda. You know, the thing about Drogheda, you know, they've good experience and good League of Ireland experience. Shelburne, obviously, you know, they've just got promoted, but they'll be reasonably happy with the start they've had. You know, they've had three victories so far. And old Damien Duff, you know, has talked about the way that he wants him to play, and, you know, he's sticking by his guns and that. And, you know, sometimes you have to make sacrifices to get results. And but again, Shelburne will have a better budget than some of the others. And, you know, I think, you know, looking at Harp's position at the minute, I think that they would probably take a playoff place at this stage. But, you know, you never rule against Finn Harps or bet against them, and because they'll always get results, and especially the longer the season goes on and the more time that Ollie and Gavin Dykes get to work with the team, you know, and you should see them start to pick up better results.
Yeah. How are they going to go about, do you think, trying to get a win in Dublin and an inch of corn Friday night against Pats, aren't they?
Well, you know, Pats' form's been a wee bit iffy of late. You know, in the last six games, they've won two, drew two, and lost two, but the two victories coming against UCD. And the last victory on Monday night against UCD, like, it was fortunate by all accounts. You know, they were, UCD took the lead, Pats missed the penalty and were fortunate to score from the rebound. And then it was an injury time corner and was forced an OG. You know, so Pats haven't been on a great run of form themselves. You know, and there'll be pressure on them to go and try and close the gap on Shamrock Rovers and Derry City. And they'll not be wanting, like, if you look behind, Pats are on 17 points, like, Bowes, Dundalk are on 15, with Sligo on 16. So, you know, and it's very tight there. So they'll be wanting to consolidate that third position. But, you know, they'll have all they want on Friday night against the Finn Harps team, who are on the back of, you know, the last trip to Dublin, an unbelievable 2-2 draw against Bowes with nine men, having had the two lads sent off. You know, so it shows that Harps can go, you know, it shows they have a bit of character about them, and, you know, going up there, I'm sure they'll not be daunted by the task, and that they'll be taking the positives from the game on Friday night against Bowes.
Already, Ollie Horgan's squad's been tested, Anthony. His players, a couple of players to come back, but there's more missing now for him, and particularly some key players in the heart of his defence, the likes of David Webster, who's waiting on results of a knee scan, and they're hoping that he's not going to be out for too long. But already the squad's been tested under Ollie Horgan.
Yeah, well, the thing about Ollie and the squad at the moment, like, they have to be very careful. You know, injuries are one thing, but you know, they've got a very poor discipline record as well in the league. I think it's 31 yellow cards and three red cards they've got so far. So, you know, when you're mounting that, you know, the amount of yellow cards that they're getting, like you look at Ethan Boyle and Ryan Connolly, two of their key players, both sitting on six yellow cards after 11 games. You know, the suspensions are going to come, Oisin, and, you know, throw in a couple of injuries on top of that, you know, and what is already a light enough squad for Premier Division purposes, you know, they're going to have to be very careful. They're going to have to be cuter, not to be picking up so many silly yellows, and then the injuries you can't do nothing about, because it's just, you know, it's part and parcel of the game. But certainly their discipline record should certainly improve to take a bit of pressure off them.
Yeah, but 3 points would certainly be very much welcome for Harps on Friday night. There would be a badly needed 3 points, are they?
It would indeed, yeah. But, you know, don't get me wrong, going to Pat at any time is difficult. But, you know, when you're Finn Harps, and, you know, Ollie's very good at you know, sort of, you know, rallying the troops and getting them, you know, looking at he'll certainly be focusing on the last trip that they had to Dublin, where, you know, they had McWood sent off quite early on, and then Ryan Rennie sent off late on in the game. And, you know, that the spirit that they showed in that game, like, if Ollie can, you know, replicate a wee bit of that there and get the players to produce that sort of fighting, battling performance against Pats. And as I said, you know, previously, Pats aren't on a good run of form. Like, you know, they've been quite fortunate and some of the results that they've had. So, in a game like that, it can come down to attitude. You know, Pats might be thinking all they have to do is turn up, whereas Harps will have 11 players trying to break the door down to get out onto the pitch. And, you know, if you start the game really well, it gives you a massive advantage. And, like, I would say, it's not the foregone conclusion that people are thinking it's going to be, actually, you know, just because Pats are third in the league. I think it's going to be a very difficult game for them, but 3 points would be most welcome for Finn Harps in this stage.
It certainly would. Let's go to the Brandywell, Derry City, and just over a week ago they were sitting 6 points clear at the top of the table. It's now down to one. Recent results haven't gone the way of Rory Higgins' side. They're playing UCD on Friday night, so it's top against bottom, and maybe it's a fixture just coming at the right time for Derry, is it, Anthony?
It's a good game for Derry, Oisin. You know, after suffering the defeat against Shelburne last Friday night, and again, it was a game that Derry City were expected to win comfortably, given the league positions. But it goes to show, like, if your attitude isn't right, and if you think it's going to be an easy game, you can sometimes end up with egg in your face, and that's what happened to Derry on Friday night. But and then on the Monday night game against Drogheda, like, that was another battling performance, and it showed the quality that Drogheda do have in terms of their organisation and their experience. And by all accounts, Drogheda were well valued for their points. So you're right, like, this time last week, Derry said they had a 6 point advantage at the top of the league, which is down now to just a point. And you know, it's going to be difficult because you look at the league table, Oisin, and you look at it at the minute, and it's just playing out like it's going to be between Derry and Shamrock Rovers. And the advantage that Shamrock Rovers have is that they do have the experience of being there for the last couple of years, and, like, Rory's in his first full season in charge of Derry, and he's had the added pressures in Rory this year because of the money that he's had to spend and the quality that he's allowed to add to the squad. So it'll be interesting to see how it develops. You know, I think it's a good game for Derry this week in the fact that, you know, they're playing UCD, but also Bohemians are at home to Shamrock Rovers. So that's a big game for Shamrock Rovers as well. And it's a game that certainly Bowes will be looking to take something from and do Derry City a favour.
Yeah. Well, we haven't got your take on this, Anthony, because it's the first time you're joining us this season. Do you think Derry City can win the title?
I think they can. You know, I think they do have quality. You know, you look at they also have a bit of experience, and the likes of Michael Duffy and the two McAleenies coming in are big helps to them. And Jamie McGonigal, you know, maybe a lot of the listeners might know much about Jamie McGonigal, but, you know, I've watched him from he was 17, 18, playing in the Irish League with Coleraine and moved to Crusaders. And Jamie scored goals, but he's actually improved. I just think he's improved an awful lot even since he's gone to Derry. Like, you know, they're obviously training full-time, and there doesn't seem to be as much. He seems to be playing with a wee bit more freedom at Derry City than what he was at Crusaders, and he seems to be back to the player he was at Coleraine, or the player that we thought he was going to be when he was at Coleraine. But Derry certainly have the quality, and the good thing about Derry City as well is that they do have the resources now to get to June and July and the window opens, and they need a player or two to challenge for the league. Well, the resources are going to be there for them to enable them to do that. So it's important that, from Derry City's point of view, that they stay up there at the top along with Shamrock Rovers as long as possible. And then once you get to June, July, they'll be looking and seeing how they can improve the squad further.
Yeah. Just one other North West club involved, of course, at the weekend, Sligo Rovers. They're taking on Drogheda United. Sligo at home. They had a great start to the season, but then they lost their way a bit after a handful of games, and they're at home on Saturday night. They'll be looking to build on that victory against Harps the last night.
Yeah, Sligo, they did that last year too, if you remember. They went on a brilliant start to the season, and then once we got to about mid-season, they hardly won a game, but their start was that good that they remained in third place for the majority of the season. So Sligo, again, like, they're, it's one of them. I don't think there's too much pressure in Sligo from outside of Sligo. You know, the pressure that they have, they put on themselves. But I think they've lost probably, I think it's three of their last five games, which they'll be disappointed about, with the only victory coming against Finn Harps. But they need to get back on track as soon as possible. And the other thing is about Sligo, there's a local interest of Shane Blinney playing as well. So it's good to see Shane playing so well. And I think he was vital to them on Monday night and ensuring that they got the 3 points against Van Harps.
Okay, Anthony, it's been a while. Good to get you back on air, and good to get your thoughts again. And enjoy the football over the weekend. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks very much, Austin. Thank you. Pleasure.
There you go. Former Finn Harps manager and player Anthony Gorman on our League of Ireland chat this week. By the way, Austin Langan will be at Richmond Park for Highland Radio Sport tomorrow night. Harps against Pats in Dublin. Kickoff is 7:45. Austin will be providing updates from that game. Just a couple of other notable local football fixtures this weekend. The Hannan Green Insurance Father O'Gara Cup final is on in Inishowen on Saturday evening. Kicks off at 5 o'clock down at McGinn Park in Buncrana. Kildaff FC are taking on Redcastle United in that big decider. And there is, of course, a full programme of fixtures in the Donegal Junior League this weekend. And in particular, on Sunday, full fixture list right across the three divisions. But there is a title up for grabs in Division 2. It's the last round of games. Letterborough Celtic are going to Lagan Harps, and they trail Letterkenny Rovers by a single point at the top of the table. So Letterkenny Rovers are hosting Glenrae United as well, and a win for Letterkenny there, and they will be crowned Division 2 champions. While Cockhill Celtic can win a ninth Ulster Senior League title in a row on Sunday at the Charlie O'Donnell Sports Grounds. That is, if they take victory against Derry City Reserves, they will be kingpins of the USL once again. That's it from the Score programme for tonight. Hope you enjoyed it. You can, of course, reflect on all tonight's stories we had for you on the show on the sports section of HighlandRadio.com. What's left of your Thursday? Enjoy it. Have a good one.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. Cross the finish line in style with trainers from michaelmurphysports.ie.